Wake the neighbors and phone the kids. It's about time for WSLM's newest show. Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk, the biggest and only local sports talk show in Kentuckiana. Focusing on Southern Indiana and Kentucky high school sports, regional college sports, and national sports news. If you want to talk to the KST guys, George Browning and Blair Thompson, call the KST Talk Line at 812-883-3401. Keep your comments brief and to the point, or Becky will throw a flag and take you out of the game. And now we go into Studio A inside the Pinewood Studios of WSLM for Kentuckiana Sports Talk with George and Blair.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Get ready for Kentuckiana Sports Talk.
All right, you've made it through another Monday. Welcome to Kentuckiana Sports Talk here on WSLM. We've got an action-packed Monday for you. Just a busy, busy weekend of sports. And the good news is football is on the horizon. We are at the end of July, and August is coming. And with August, that means football season is here. We got, like I said, a busy show for you tonight. We're going to kick things off here when we're going to talk about our big sports story from the weekend. We got an interview lined up with Silver Creek head football coach John Dablo. We're going to have him in the Pinewood studio here in a little bit. And then we're going to talk about our question of the week. And then we're going to have some trivia, maybe give away some Bats tickets for you. So, like I said, just a busy, busy night. Lots going on. So that's our hope over the next few weeks, to really talk to the Mid-Southern Conference football coaches here and hear what they have coming back, and really give you a preview of that. We're not going to focus on the local coaches, because we're going to leave that to Bubba and the first coaches show of the year there at McDonald's. So we're going to let him interview Coach Dean down at Eastern and Coach Hartsfield at Salem, and then Coach Bowsman out at West Washington. So we're going to try here on this show to maybe get all the Mid-Southern Conference coaches in here in the studio, or at least on the phone, and talk to them. So tonight it will be Coach Dablo, and we'll hear what the Silver Creek Dragons have coming. And last year they made a run at the conference, so it'll be interesting to hear what they have coming back. But we're going to kick off the show like we always do with the big story from the weekend. Blair, what'd you think the big story from the weekend was?
I made it in here.
Oh yeah, that way. I was being casual. I didn't even wasn't even going to let them know you were running a little bit late here.
The blue Jeep was maybe going a little faster than it should have, but it's okay. My big story of the week is Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck back at Colts practice yesterday, Sunday in a scrimmage. 19 for 22 in a full padded scrimmage. So hopefully that's good news for the Colts. When Andrew Luck is not in a Colts uniform, they are not very good. So I think that he hasn't thrown a football in over a year. So to go 19-22 in your first scrimmage, that's a big news out of the Colts camp.
Yeah, it certainly made my list, Blair. I was wondering what you were going to pick as far as your top stories, and just seeing back-to-back days where Andrew was throwing the football. It was amazing to me. You remember when Peyton had the neck injury? You know, they went from being a Super Bowl contender, Peyton's injury, and then they got the number one draft pick, and it was almost the same scenario. Everybody was – the Colts had a lot of Super Bowl hype around them. Luck gets hurt. Bam. They're not even in contention for the playoffs. So it's amazing what one position can do in a sport where 22 positions, or even more when you count special teams, really, really dictate the game.
Yeah, you know, I was reading an article this morning, and it's talking about, you know, how last year people were talking about how the NFL was down and it was boring and the ratings were down. And they were going off about how, you know, maybe that was the case, but – you're talking about there were some major high-profile quarterbacks that got hurt. You know, Deshaun Watson was lighting it up at Houston. He gets hurt, and they lose like six straight. You know, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt in Green Bay, and Green Bay has one of the biggest followings in the National Football League. They lengthy law won three games the rest of the year, and two of them were in overtime, and one of them were against the hapless my team, the Bengals. You know, so I mean, that's there was a lot of injuries. Carson Wentz had an MVP year going on, and Carson Wentz gets hurt, even though Nick Foles comes back and wins the championship with them. And obviously with Luck being hurt, the Colts were horrible. So you know. The game, the year, hopefully itself, the season itself in the NFL is going to be a lot better just because you got these guys back. So
let me ask you that question: with if Luck comes back and he's 100% healthy and he plays the entire season, do you say the Colts are just in contention for the playoffs, or is it too lofty to say they could compete for a Super Bowl? Is that too much to put on them? Knowing what we know right now.
I mean, I know that this is WSLM is affiliate of the Indianapolis Colts, but this is my opinion, okay?
So now, we're not going to go
out on a limb.
Put
here,
out there right? Who you root for.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a Bengals fan, so we don't win much, so it's okay. I don't know. I mean, that used to be the Colts conference, you know, and now you have Houston, who, if Watson comes back, they should be really good shape. You know, you got Mariota, at Tennessee, who they're playing a lot better. And then obviously you got the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have the best defense in the league. So it's not going to be, that's probably one of the toughest conferences in the league. And, but, you know, if Luck comes back and he is who he is, you're not going to count the Colts out of anything.
Yeah, and let's not forget Jacksonville with Fournette, you know, super season. They were really right up there with the best of the best last year in their run for the Super Bowl.
Right.
They're in the Colts.
Yes.
Okay, yep. I had a brain freeze for a
Houston,
second.
Tennessee and the Colts, so.
I knew that, but you doubt yourself for a second. But because, like you said, the Colts just dominated that division for so long.
Right, right.
But all those teams will have something to say. But I'm convinced if you line those players up and let me have first pick,
right.
I'm taking Andrew Luck.
For sure.
So I think if he's healthy, a new coach, new energy in Indianapolis, I like the Colts to win that division. And at least make the playoffs. You still got Tom Brady. You still got Big Ben in Pittsburgh. It's a hard road to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC. So I'm not so sure I would put that on the Colts right now. But I think if he's healthy and all the ducks fall in a row here, the playoffs, anything less than that, I would think, with a healthy Andrew Luck, it'd be a little disappointing if you didn't at least make a push for the playoffs there.
Exactly.
So
good day for the Colts. And if you're a Colts fan, have him back under center for sure.
Sure, and in contention, I thought, hey, Thursday night we got the good news, bad news. The good news is we have a football game. The bad news is it's preseason football,
right.
Which is fun to watch for about 10 minutes until they pull the starters. So we got the Bears and the Ravens. That game will be broadcast here on WSLM. But my big story from the weekend was the Atlanta Braves pitcher Sean Newcomb. You know, he comes one pitch away from a no-hitter, literally 8 2/3 inning. He's got 2 strikes on the final batter and a base hit there. And of course, that's a big story. But then the aftermath, after the game, you know, I guess somebody does some digging on his Twitter account and finds some stuff that he posted when he was a high schooler. And this is becoming a common thread. And I would think if you're an athlete right now and you posted some questionable stuff when you were in high school,
you're deleting everything.
You would go back and delete it just in case you have a big moment and somebody wants to go dig that up. And that is certainly something I was going to, as we get Coach Dablo in here on the phone in a little bit, I was going to ask him if that's something he talks about with his kids. I was going to ask you, hey, has that trickled down? You know, you coach middle school football right. There at Salem. Is that something are middle schoolers too young for that yet?
Oh, no.
Or is that something you talk about with them?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we have to talk about. And, you know, when I was the counselor at the middle school, I mean, it was something that, you know, it's a whole new realm that no one's used to, and the fact that, you know, something can get out there so fast and be spread throughout the whole community, the whole world, basically. It's, you know, it's a lot like we talked about with the Papa John situation last week, and it's something that I know Coach Hartsfield makes his guys friend him on his on an Instagram account so he can watch over what they're doing. And you know, obviously there's ways around that, and the kids know that. But he does his best to try to monitor that. And you never know, you know, what's going to be said and what happens. And you know, it's relationships in high school sometimes can make people pretty mad at each other. And you know, when you have that cross county rival, you really want to monitor what's being said by your players, that you don't want to give any bulletin board material or whatever. So yeah, it's definitely something. After the national championship game, the kid who lit up Michigan in the national championship game in basketball, there was something on his Twitter account from his sophomore year in high school that he had written that was brought up. And you know, we're just talking about, you know, things that he had said as a kid, you know, that were brought out. So it's not the first time that it's happened, but it's definitely something that, as a coach and as a player, you got to really make sure that, you know, anything you put out there is going to be on there for life. So,
well, and I was a youth pastor in Pekin for 5 years, and I would tell the kids in my youth group that you got to be careful. Because if I'm interviewing you for a job as an adult, now I have this whole history. Used to, you would just apply for a job, and
right.
I had to take you at your word, what you told me. But now I can go back and look on your Facebook page and really look at you over the last, however long Facebook's been in existence, however right. long you've had a page. So really what you're posting today may seem harmless, even if you're 16, but your boss at 25 could, if they have the diligence to look back that far,
right.
could see that you posted something. And if it's offensive, it really could cost you a job.
Yeah. And they, even here recently, you know, they call those burner accounts, you know, the accounts that are not under your name. I don't have one of those, but you might, I don't know, George, but no, you don't, George. But anyway, you know, Kevin Durant's been caught with one of those where he was bashing his teammates. The guy who was the owner of the general manager of the Phillies, you know, he got fired. He said, "Oh, it wasn't me; it was my ex-wife who was making comments about players." So, you know, anything that's out there seems to be able to be brought up, and it's usually not a good thing when that happens.
So again, my top story, Sean Newcomb, he was one pitch away from a no-hitter, and that was a big story. But the bigger story after the game, somebody discovered some tweets, and I'm quoting ESPN.com here. It said one tweet included a racial epithet that was part of a rap lyric, and several others contained gay slurs. And then his comment in that story, he said, "I just wanted to apologize for any insensitive material. It was a long time ago, 6 or 7 years ago, saying some stupid stuff with friends." So just a message for the young people and parents out there, really just maybe an opportunity to sit down with parents. And I don't want to stand on a soapbox here on the Kentuckiana Sports Talk, but remind your kids that what they say in social media seems harmless, but it can come back. And another layer to that onion, Blair, I'm shocked that these professional sports teams aren't hiring somebody to go right. back and look at their athletes, right. especially these young baseball players who come in. They sign some of these kids at 17 years
right,
old.
Sure.
So I'm surprised somebody isn't looking at and saying, "Hey, either start a new account, delete this stuff, or whatever the case may be." So anyway, that was a top story. Again, another, I thought, hey, the Reds are still trugging along. They're 5-5 over their last 10 games. Two series wins. They're still 13.5 games behind the division leaders, Cubs. But
we won't mention that. But.
Well, the good news, though, in that, Blair, is that that's where they've been. They've right. been holding pace with the
right.
Cubs ever since they, you know, they got off to that horrendous start.
Right.
And they've really just kind of been right there with the Cubs at that 13.5 behind. Really, you figure, man, if they just had one or two more pieces, they could start to climb. So you hope they keep everybody together. And it looks like they're going to. The trade deadline's tomorrow at 4. So looks like they're going to go into the rest of the year with those pieces in place. Maybe in the offseason they can add a pitcher or two, maybe get Homer Bailey going in the right direction and get some good solid pitching and maybe enter next year with a shot to kind of maybe give those division leaders a run for their money. So
yeah, I think the goal here on out is just to try to get as many series wins as we can. You know, that's, you know, take each series one at a time and be competitive and see what happens. You know, we closed the season last year pretty well too, and I think everybody, you know, we knew pitching was going to be a struggle, and we were probably going to have to win by the old softball score, you know, like a 15-13 or something like that. But now we got some bats going. Suarez, 5 home runs in a five games that are, you know, tied a franchise record, five home runs in five consecutive games, and you know, just some positive things. Scooter's been playing well, and you know Votto's gonna always give you what he gives you at the plate. So, so we've got some pieces to work around. We just got to make sure that we can keep them all together there.
Got to get that Duval kid some more playing.
He's got
some good roots there.
I know.
Comes from
I know.
Quality program.
I know. He's a Louisville guy. I know that for sure.
Hey, speaking of the Reds, we're being assisted here tonight by Aspen White. So she's going to get us this day in Reds history. We're going to have that. And then when we come back, hopefully if technology works for us, we're going to have the Silver Creek head coach, John Dablo, on the line with us. So we're going to hear about the Dragons and their upcoming season. And then our last half an hour, we're going to be just kind of potluck. We're going to open up some phone lines. We're going to talk about our question of the week and just have a little fun here as we wrap up the show tonight. So come back, listen to this moment in Reds history, and we'll be back after that.
This is This Date in Reds Baseball, brought to you by Cincinnati USA Regional Tourism Network.
July 30th, 1942, it was wartime baseball in the major leagues, the USA fighting in World War II. And on this day at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, the Reds staged a benefit game against a military club featuring many major leaguers now in the service. The game was played prior to the Reds' regularly scheduled night game. And to drum up interest, the Reds promoted the games as the first day-night doubleheader in baseball. And between games, Army troops demonstrated a 37-millimeter anti-tank gun firing off some blank rounds. I'll bet that woke up the neighborhood. Baseball and guns this July 30th, 1942, this date in Reds baseball.
This date in Reds baseball with team historian Greg Rhodes is brought to you by CincinnatiUSA.com, the official travel guide of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. CincinnatiUSA.com.
Here at Fantastic Sam's Cut and Color, we're all about real lifestyle. Today, I'm talking with Trevor, a real Fantastic Sam's client, father, and welder's helper. I'm digging the cut. Very trendy.
My stylist recommended it. Sharp part, high and tight.
Do you think I could be a welder's helper?
Know anything about welding?
No.
Probably not the best career choice. Just being real.
Ah, I see what you did there. Trevor found his real style, and so can everyone. Fantastic Sam's. Looks good on you.
Hi, this is Becky White from WSLM. Take advantage of this great deal through August the 8th to get the kiddos looking good for back to school. Come to Fantastic Sam's right here in Salem next to the Walmart and get their haircut for only $7.95. Kids age 11 and under only. No coupon needed. Offer expires August 8th.
We're back here in the Pinewood studio. We got Silver Creek head football coach John Dablo. Coach Dablo, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate having me on tonight.
I hear you're actually in the trenches right now. You're on the field at football practice. Thanks for taking a minute to be with us.
I'll tell you what, George, you ever remember a day when we started football practice and it was 77 and cloudy? Is that not perfect day to start football practice or what?
You'll take that every year, won't you?
Every year, I'm telling you.
hey, Coach, our goal here is to just kind of have all the Mid-Southern coaches on for just a little bit and talk about the upcoming season. And what better way to start with you guys? Man, I remember talking to you prior to last year, and you told me this was kind of a 17 was a leap year for you. You felt like at 5-5 and 16, you kind of put the team on the map. And you wanted to take a step in 17, and man, I thought you did that at 9-3. Did you exceed your expectations in 17?
Well, yes and no. You know, I think defensively, we, you know, posting whatever we had, six shutouts or something crazy. You know, it felt like we did, but we still have that three lingering there. So as well as we played, as excited as we were, you know, we still didn't quite meet our goals of winning a conference and winning a sectional. So it was fun. It was a great year. And like you said, I think we took a step up on the ladder. But we hope our guys aren't satisfied. We have a lot more work.
With that said, Coach, I know you were right there in the thick of the conference race. You battle North Harrison and you lose that game 6-0. And then the next week you kind of lose a little bigger to Brownstown. Was there a hangover effect in from that where you just felt like you gave it everything you had against North Harrison and then you maybe the residual effect of that game carried over to Brownstown a little bit?
Well, you know, I'm not going to make any excuses for us. You know, we didn't bring our best game that week, but you know, all those other factors certainly contribute and to maybe not us playing our best football at that week. But you know, it's something that we got to get better at. We can't we can't take a big game like that and then have an off week because our schedule's just too tough to do that. So hopefully, we'll learn from it.
That was kind of a look back at 9-3. Is the Silver Creek program now, Coach, at a place where, I hate to put this on you, but we're at a position where you can reload? I mean, you lose a lot from last year, but is it realistic to think that you can lose what you've lost and still contend for that sectional championship, still contend for that Mid-Southern Conference championship?
Well, I think it has to be, right? I mean, we have to compete against the Brownstowns and the North Harrisons that are year in, year out. So we better be if we want to get this program in the direction that we expect it to be. So, you know, I think our expectations are high and they need to be high every year. And the kids, I think, you know, they expect to win in everything they do. You know, Silver Creek was successful not just in football but in all sports, and I think that really has a mindset to that winning is expected, and hopefully we'll continue to do that this year.
Tell us some of the kids. I know our local fans who are listening tonight, they want to know that when you come around on the schedule, who are some players that we need to be looking out for that are going to be kind of your features for you this year?
Sure. Well, you know, offensively, Josh Landers, he'll be a three-year starting quarterback for us. Doing a great job, had a great summer this year leading the team, and you know, we're getting him more involved and maybe opening things up for him a little bit more than what we did in years past because he is that three-year leader. Defensively, Peyton Myers is a three-year starter at linebacker, the all-conference selection, returning for us. He's what we consider our quarterback of our defense. Other guys, Garrett Bauer, who will be moving to tight end this year and also playing defensive line. He's a big, strong guy, and he'll be a lot of what we do. And Dylan Witt, another two-way player, will be playing a wide receiver, and then I'm playing our strong safety. Those are four guys. Those are actually our four captains this year, as well as four guys that we think are going to be real key to what we do. As you know, there's a lot more we could mention, but those four guys are the guys we're looking at this year for sure.
Now, you know, I have a personal relationship with Jacob Graff. He had great church camp counseling when he was a younger man. I just want to mention that.
Well, you know, he has had a fantastic summer. He is going to be a big part of what we do. He is really on both sides of the football. He's really done a great job. We're looking forward to seeing the ball in his hands this year. Yeah, absolutely. Jacob is one that is a key as well.
Now, a lot of people around here might not know this, Coach, but you guys have a little bit, outside of the fact that you were at Pekin for a while, you got a member of your staff. I think he's still back. Zach Wilson, coaching the D-line. Is he back for another year with you guys?
Coach Wilson is back. Yeah, we'll keep him as long as he wants to be here with us. He did a phenomenal job last year. Our D-line has kind of become our rock stars of our team. It's, you know, most teams, you want to be, you know, a running back or something, but it feels like down here, the RG line, especially last year, they got a lot of the love. So people want to be on the D-line, playing the D-line, and Coach Wilson is a big part of that. So, yeah, he's back and coaching up our D-line again this year. We love it.
Boy, I tell you, Coach, last year, every time I saw him with every one of those shutouts you started the season with, his head grew incrementally. So I was wondering how he was able to hold it up. I think you guys started the year with four shutouts there, and then in the fifth game you only gave up 7 points. So Zach was really loving life on that defensive side of the football.
That's right. And for those of you that know Zach there in Washington County, Zach's head's already pretty big. He's a big man.
Yeah, I have Blair here with me, Coach. Blair, you got anything for Coach Dablo?
First of all, I just want to say, you know, congratulations, Coach, on what the successes you've had down there. You know, you and I have talked plenty of times, but, you know, for what you've been able to accomplish at Creek in the short amount of time that you've been there, really just, you know, it shows a lot of people what kind of coach that you are. And I know you're not the guy that's ever going to take the credit for it, but, you know, I think that the job that you've done down there has been tremendous. And, you know, I know that I've coached against all these kids now at the middle school level who are now at the varsity level with Coach down there. In this senior class, I'll never forget when we walked into the Silver Creek game that night, I thought we were playing a junior varsity team. And this is a class, I know for me in particular, Coach, that I've been looking forward to watching play. Maybe not play against, you know, when they come up and play the Lions, but I'm telling you, you know, when they were in eighth grade, they were 6'3", 6'4", 6'3", you know, and they were massive, massive kids in the eighth grade. And then, you know, 2 years down the road, sophomores, it looked like they were clones of the senior class. And then I heard, yeah, they're brothers of all these guys that are seniors this year. So, you know, I'm excited to see what you got coming up. And you have some tremendous athletes, and, you know, it's something that, you know, nobody can put the athletes on the field that you can put on the field. And, you know, it's going to be a fun season for you down there.
Well, we certainly hope so, and I appreciate those kind of words. You know, it's easy when you got the great kids, and we feel like we got, several athletes in a lot of different spaces that, you know, that we can get the ball to and let them do a lot of great things. So, you know, at this point, you know, day one, and you know how it is with the summer and everything, you just never know what you got. So, you know, our guys are chomping at the bit to put the full regalia on and
right.
Go up there and take on another team. You know, we're really looking forward to it.
Well, another thing that I think is great that Creek has is the student support down there is tremendous. You know, the Orange Zone, I think is what they call it, right?
Ozone,
yeah. I mean, it's a large school, but you have a lot of kids that come out every Friday and support your team and have since you know, football program started at Silver Creek. And you know, I think that's something also, it's, you know, it's a fun place to play as an opponent. And I think it's, you know, you guys got so many good positive things going down there. That, you know, to look forward to, for sure.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, kids are great. They come out, they support us, and you know, we really like it, and all the coaches kind of support each other, and it's been a very neat, special place to be, and very happy to be here.
We always put this one on you, Coach. Just thinking about the season ahead, you know, North. Had a big year last year. They got a great senior class coming back. Brownstown, are those the two still at the top of the mountain here? If you're going to get over the hump and win a conference championship, is that the road you got to go through?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those two every year. I mean, they're you know, North Carolina, they're going to be good again, and there's no surprises there. You know, Brownstown, Coach May is one of the top programs in the state. You know, I think everybody's going to be better. I really think Salem's could be in for a good year. I know they got a lot of returners, a lot of kids back. I think they're going to be a very, very tough team. I think Charlestown's going to be much tougher than they were last year. And, you know, they haven't had very many down seasons, so I think they're going to be back. And, you know, I think all of the teams are going to be better in the Mid-Southern. I've been very impressed with the Mid-Southern and the quality of football here in recent years. It's becoming a very good conference.
Yeah, that's something I talked about actually when Coach Moriarty came to Salem. You know, one of the things he talked about was the quality of football that gets played in Mid-Southern Conference. You know, a lot of people from Indianapolis down don't understand that, but, you know, we have some great coaches in the Mid-Southern Conference that put excellent – spent a lot of time with their players learning the fundamentals. And, you know, there's really not too many easy night outs in the Mid-Southern Conference, you know, and that's not the case in a lot of the other conferences that you see in Southern Indiana, you know. And I think you're exactly correct. You know, I know Coach Humphrey's a good friend of mine down at Cordon. They didn't have the success they wanted last year, but I know he's going to get those guys squared away down there in Cordon. And you know, what North Harrison's been able to do in a few short times as their coach has been there, what you've been able to do it's at Creek. Coach Hawkins down at Charlestown has always been able to put a winner on the field. Coach Hartsfield here in Salem as well. And then, of course, you know, Coach Dean starting his, you know, getting his feet wet down at Eastern, and then of course you got Coach May, who sits at the top, and we all try to get to where he's at, you know.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's all good quality coaches, and I think they do a nice job. Just a good quality men as well.
Coach, we'll get you out of here on this one. We always start our show with talking about the big story from the weekend, and we were talking about the young man from the Atlanta Braves who pitched the no-hitter, and then after the game he got in a little bit of trouble for tweets that he did in high school. And just wanted to get your take as a high school coach. Do you address with your players just the importance of being mindful of what they do on their social media?
We do. We try to just remind them that stuff is always out there. As soon as they hit send, it'll be out there forever and affect them, not only now, but potentially when they go to get a job. And unfortunately, our kids, the players that we have today, you know, they really haven't grown up with a phone not in their hand. So they don't, you know, sometimes it's so easy for them to say something or hit something or something, you know, and just want them to press pause a little bit, think about what they're doing and what their actions will have, not just the social media, but just in their interactions with each other and adults and how they lead their lives. So we try to address it. You know, we can't, we know we're not going to have control over it, but we do try to remind them as much as possible. So.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Coach, for being on the show. We want to wish the Dragons good luck this year. But I tell you, we Silver Creek had such a great year last year. It seemed like you won a sectional in everything. You gotta throw us some bones here. Let our teams get a chance in some other sports. But I tell you, it's so hard.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. But it's a class program, and I tell you, I've seen theater down there, and I just love the school, and I love the people, and the students and staff have always been great. So I'm a Silver Creek fan, certainly, especially when you're not playing our local teams, but even when you are, it's hard not to root for you. So good luck, Coach, in all that you do, and you always have a fan in me, and come back anytime you want and talk about the Dragon football program, all right?
For
all
sure.
Right, tell Zach to keep that head at an even keel this year.
I will do it.
All right, Coach, thank you.
Thanks, George.
All right, that was Coach Dablo down at Silver Creek. He spent several years as head coach of the Eastern Pekin football program, and he took a teaching position at Silver Creek. He had no intentions of coaching football. They didn't have an opening when he took the job down there, and Silver Creek's coach left, and he decided he had enough of a break. You know, it's in the blood, Blair, and he thought he'd give it another run, and Silver Creek sure has the athletes, and
Coach
Dablo's been able to do some stuff with them down there.
I think it's also, you know, if it's a feel-good story, you know what I mean? You know, he didn't have the success he wanted to have at Eastern. When it first started, I feel like, you know, kind of the chips were against him. Not just – athlete wise, but you know, trying to start a new program, it's extremely, extremely difficult. And you're trying to start a program in the Mid-Southern Conference where football is really, really good. And so there, like I said to him, there's no easy nights in the Mid-Southern Conference. And for you know, maybe Clarksville now. Clarksville's been struggling the last couple of years. Maybe they'll get turned around this year. But, you know, besides that, there really hasn't been – there's not a game where you can say, yeah, that's a win. And so at Eastern, it was a struggle, you know. And now, you know, some people were doubting who, you know, him as a coach, doubting – and I don't think they never doubted him as a person, because, you know, he's a wonderful person. But, you know, he goes to Creek, turns it around in a couple of years, and nobody's done before down there, and he goes 9-3. So, and they're going to be really, really good this year.
Absolutely.
He was downplaying that, but I'm telling you, that senior class, I've watched them all the way up, and other sports as well, as you said, and they are going to be really good football team.
Yeah, I was able to coach under Coach Dablo in the middle school program at Eastern, and I got to see that up close and personal. I would tell people, he's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. And so it wasn't a coaching,
right?
Problem. It was just football's a numbers game. It bigger, stronger, faster usually wins.
Right.
And numbers. I remember I played for Central over in Louisville, and we would have 30 kids, and we played Trinity, who had 80.
Right.
You know, and you'd stand there on Friday night and look across the sideline, and you know they're still running bigger, stronger, faster in late in the fourth quarter, and our best players are banged up and hurt, and so it was a tough run. So anyway,
well, I mean, I'll always be a fan of his. When I got sick, you know, he was one of the — him and Coach May were the two coaches in the Mid-Southern Conference that called me and asked me how I was doing and asked me, you know, if things are going to be okay, anything they could do. And you know, when someone does that, you can tell what kind of person they are. So I'm a John Dablo fan for life, for sure.
Absolutely, class acts. Anyway, glad to have him on, and we'll try to get you another coach, maybe two next week. We'll see how time goes, but as we lead up to the season, and if we don't get them all in the preseason, maybe we'll get up a couple on here as the season starts. You know, we definitely are going to have two of them on at the coaches show there,
right,
at McDonald's.
Sure.
So Bubba will have Coach Dean and Coach Hartsfield on there in the first week. So you can hear about the local teams on WSLM at the coaches show, and we'll see if we can get the rest of these Mid-Southern coaches into the Pinewood studio for a chat to hear about their teams in the season. If you have any questions for them that you'd like us to ask, post those on our Facebook page, and we'll see about getting those asked to the coach when they do call in. So here we go. We got a question of the week. I think Blair's got a trivia question. We want to give away some Bats tickets. We're just busy here. We got a half an hour to get it all in, Blair. Let's get rolling.
You want to do the trivia question now?
Let's do the trivia question.
I'll tell you, I got a tough one.
A tough trivia question.
I don't know. We're going to give away Louisville Bats tickets.
Louisville Bats tickets. Becky told me you can pick them up on Wednesday.
Here we go. Are you ready for this?
Ready for the trivia question.
And you weren't here for this, so you're just going to ask.
I may not know it.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
In 1993.
The West Washington Senators.
Uh-oh.
Played for a state championship in football.
All right.
They played a team called North Miami. Okay, and they lost that game. We won't talk about that, but they were state runner-ups. Pretty amazing feat. It was a heck of a run for a local team. I want to know what the score was of the 1993 Class 1A football championship game.
1993 Class 1A state championship game against North Miami. No going to the website. You know, you all know what website I'm talking to. No going and peeking. I bet there's some senators that know that score without even cheating, though.
Well, we'll see.
Aspen, do we know how many tickets we're giving away?
I believe up to four.
We're giving away four tickets to the person who knows the answer to that question. If you want to give us a call at the number here. That's our trivia question.
And the number here is 812-883-3401.
812-883-3401. That's Walter Payton and 01. 3401, 883-3401.
Number one in your heart.
Give us a call and tell us what the final score was, and you can get yourself a pair four Bats tickets. And I tell you, there's a big night if you're a Marvel comic fan. Later on this month, they're having their big Hulk giveaway, so you can — I think it's a bobblehead or something to do with the Hulk. We were there the other night, and they were really promoting that. So call us, tell us the score, and you can be on the radio and answer
tickets.
The trivia question. So
look smart, win tickets, and be on air. I mean,
that's right. So in the meantime, while we wait for you to call here, we're going to talk about our — you want to do your You got a...
Yeah, our question of the day.
All right,
our question of the week, I guess it is. So we hit football this week, and my question that we posted was, who were the top three quarterbacks to have ever played in Washington County? Now, again, George, you are kind of behind the eight ball here because you didn't come in until 2001, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, but we did have some responses. We had some people that you know, called in. So, do you want to do yours first, or do you want? Because I've went first every time.
Yeah, I don't mind to do mine.
Okay.
Put a lot of thought into it. And before I do mine, can I just tell you a story? My first game, Blair. I moved here in 2001. I was looking at the football schedule that night, and Salem was at Clarksville. It used to be, maybe, if it wasn't the first game of the season, it was very early in the season. So I get to the game. I had never met Coach Motz. It was all new to me, really hadn't covered any Indiana high school sports. And so I'm interviewing Coach Motz after the game. And he tells me that, of course, the quarterback, I find out, is his nephew.
Right.
Who flipped his Jeep after school.
I remember that.
My headline was Motzinger flips his Jeep, then flips the Generals, or something along those lines. So it was a pretty neat way to start it. But Ben was certainly in the running. He was a quality quarterback. But my top three, there were it was tough because there's been a lot of good ones. So and I did try to go with one from every school, because in my 18 years of living in Washington County, Pekin has had football for most of that, so I did give a Pekin quarterback a nod.
We know you're partial to the
a Musketeer. Yeah, they're calling me my Musketeer roots here.
That's okay.
So West Washington, my quarterback from the Senators is Ryan Kemp.
You got Ryan in there.
I got Ryan in there.
He was complaining a week ago.
Yeah, you know, Ryan didn't make the basketball team, but Ryan's just an athlete, you know. So especially, I would have liked to have seen him. Coach Bausman's really opened up the offense a little more since Ryan played. So I would like to see Ryan had a chance to run that wide open offense just a little bit more. So, but you know, while Ryan gets the nod, if I'm running the T offense, maybe Morgan Conrad gets the nod, because I tell you, he executed those fakes, Blair. I had to.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
I had to wait until all the piles were peeled off to find out where the football was when I was keeping stats. So Morgan gets a nod. I tell you, Ricky Lynx was my Trent Dilfer kind of quarterback, because he just didn't do anything to hurt the team.
Right.
And what a quality young man to interview after the games. And Ricky was just I love to just be around him and the team. So they get honorable mention, but my Senator quarterback is Ryan, of course. And I got to go with Matty Ice for Salem.
Yeah, for sure. Had to,
Matt
right?
Hudson. I remember.
If you didn't, you'd hear the end of it. You wouldn't hear the end of it.
I think he only threw like 105 passes in high school, but he goes on to be Wabash's all-time leading passer. His college career speaks for the kind of quarterback he was. We didn't see that. But when you got 29 or 27 RJ behind you, give him the ball.
Right.
So we didn't get to see his arm in action as much. So certainly Ben gets a nod. And then the young guys, I was talking to Seth Hobson a little earlier tonight. He had a great career. Brandon Hobson is on the team now. And just some really good quarterbacks in the time that I've been there. And then this sleeper at Eastern, you know, Eastern wasn't very good at record-wise. But Nate Wade, I'm telling you, athletically was quality. He could run the football, he could throw the football. He just didn't have a lot around him. He had a few skill players. Tankersley was down there, and he played with the Tandy running back. But Nate, line wise Nate got a lot of what he got because of his own athletic ability. So I would put Nate Wade, Ryan Kemp, and Matt Hudson. Those are my big three. So there you go.
That's a good list. I like that. I do have one on my list.
That's okay. It's hard not to, Blair.
So mine, in no particular order, I went with Hudson first. I guess it wasn't order. Hudson was first. You know, he's broke all the records here before Hobson broke them And now Corbin's broke him again. But and he was a three-time All-American, he said, you know, Wabash. He was tremendous. What took, you know, and not all people might have forgot that, but he intercepted a pass in the end zone against Brownstown to seal the conference championship, our first in a long time. And he, you know, was 102 yards. He ran it all the way back and may or may not have high stepped from the 10-yard line, but and blamed it on me. But anyway, number two, Daniel Brown, local attorney. Daniel Brown was a quarterback on the West Washington team, on that 93 West Washington team that went to the state finals. Tremendous. He was a 6'4", massive quarterback, bruiser, but yeah, could throw the ball, could run it, could block, and smart. I remember the game against us. You know, he would change the play call at the line of scrimmage. He was the Peyton Manning of the Washington County audibles that we had, and he just knew where guys should be. And Daniel was a tremendous leader. And then the third one I had was a guy you probably haven't seen play was Blair Huff. Blair Huff. He has a state record of 7 touchdowns in a game, and he was 7 for 7. And I think Coach Motz took him out in the fourth quarter, and Coach Motz didn't know he had a record. They still joke about that today. If he could have played that fourth quarter, he might have had a chance. But Blair wasn't very tall. He was a shorter quarterback, but could run and throw, roll out of the pocket, and got to play in a sectional final with Coach Motzinger. So those are my three. Blair Huff, Matt Hudson, and Daniel Brown. So those are my three for the week. I did have a list from Corden's head coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he sent a list. Aaron Humphrey.
Coach Hump.
Coach Hump sent one in, and he said top three quarterbacks since 1990, because that's when he was in school, and that's the ones he remembers. He said Adrian Brown, a local banker, Adrian Brown. He was my quarterback in high school. 2 conference titles and the only sectional title in school history. So he put him up there. Matt Hudson, conference title. Todd Jolly, who was also a member on one of the teams, I think one of the best teams to ever play here at Salem. Went undefeated through the season, rolled through everybody, and got beat by a juggernaut Lawrenceburg team. But Todd Jolly, 2 conference titles. And then honorable mention, he put Ben Motzinger and Blair Huff. So those are the two. That was his list. So Coach Hump's seen a lot of football. So I thought it was kind of cool that he sent that up to us to take part in our poll. So
absolutely, just fun. And you know what? The names that we've mentioned, and certainly I wasn't around for Daniel and some of those older guys, right. Jolly. But right. I know the names we mentioned as far as the more recent quarterbacks. When you talk to them after a game, it was never about them.
Right.
You know, they would tell you, I couldn't do it without these receivers or without right. the line giving me protection. And I always make a note when I talk to young players and mention that to them. In middle school, I would talk to running backs and say, just be mindful that you might have ripped off an 80-yard run, but right. the hole was there for you to get that. So right. so be mindful of that. As you grow, we middle school players don't usually get interviewed, but when you get right. into high school, as we talk about running backs in the future, we'll talk about the running backs that would always mention their
yeah, it's funny.
Their
some of these guys that have came back, like Hudson, you know, he said, man, I wish we could have thrown the ball as much as Seth and Brandon and get to throw the ball, you know. And so, you know, and that's when we start thinking about good quarterbacks and you know, even West Washington and Salem, you know, they would pass maybe 8 times a game, you
right.
know. And so through the 90s, you didn't have the spotlight wasn't really on the quarterback, you know. And as of now, it's kind of turned, it's stable a little bit, you know. Like the spotlight, and I know in our offense here at Salem is on the quarterback. And so anyway, Josh Green, he mentioned your guy, Ryan Kemp. Matt Hudson and Martin Chastain. Martin was another one that was honorable mention on my list, because he not only did he put up huge numbers, but I felt like he really controlled the game as well.
Yeah, I felt like Martin was kind of like Ricky. He was really a coach on the field. And I remember talking to the West Washington coaches, and he was just not a lot to worry about when Martin was out there. He wasn't going to do anything to beat you, and I believe he went on to have a pretty solid career at Franklin
right,
and
yeah.
Just really a solid athlete. So it was fun to watch him play out there at West Washington as well.
Jamie Richardson, he put Brad Bousman, who was on his team. So kind of, these guys take care of their own quarterbacks.
That's right. That's right.
But Brad was a tremendous player. He had Travis Elliott on that team that he was able to throw the ball to as far as he wanted down the field. And Matt Hudson and Daniel Brown was the three that he had on his list as well. And you know, Brad only got to play 1 year. He sat for 3 years, not sit, but he was played backup for 3 years, and he played sparingly as a junior. But he had that team went undefeated as well into sectional, and got beat in the sectional. But they were a tremendous team as well. So some pretty good quarterbacks in Washington County.
A lot of really good football. I tell you, it's been fun to watch just in the time that I've been here. And you always want that that team, like. Forever, I thought, man, we're never going to have a team to win a state championship. And, of course, we finally got that in basketball. But we've been close. West Washington made a run and lost to Linton there a few years ago. And you felt like if they could have got past that Linton team, they had a team that could have went back to the Lucas Oil and made a run there. But that's really I'm rooting for that now. Sure, I'd like to see another basketball team make a run, but I'd really like to see a football team put something together and win four or five games in the postseason and make a run at bringing home one of those big trophies.
Right. I think what it makes a little more interesting now is, you know, if you win, you know, like, well, so what happened to the North Harrison girls team? You know, you win a state or you go to a state title 2 years in a row, you're moving up a class. And so, you know, like in West Washington's case, you know, you take a team like the Lafayette team who had won forever, and now they got bumped up. You know, Columbus East gets bumped up when they go to the finals. And I think that's helped some teams maybe reach a little further into the tournament, because that one team, especially the private school team that's been sitting there forever, maybe has jumped up a class, you know. And I one thing that I didn't realize, or I did realize, but I've forgotten, you know, that 93 team for West Washington went to the state finals. The 94 team went to the semi-state, and then the 95 team got beat in the sectional. So, you know, you had 2 years where they were, a win away from being in the state finals, or 2 wins away from being a state champ. So, you know, and that's a pretty big feat from, you know, and that year, you know, we had two teams playing in the regional in our county. So, pretty neat stuff. And I think, you know, football is something people really get excited about, you know. And I love this time of year. And, you know, you go to the grocery store or you go somewhere else, it's always, hey, how's the team going to be? Or, hey, when's the first game? And people get really excited about it. Like Coach Dabo said, tonight feels like a fall night for sure, doesn't it?
Sure. And you can't take a week off anymore. You know, the schedule is so full.
Right.
You know, especially in the Mid-Southern Conference, because what?
Every game but one.
Every team has football except Austin. And, you know, you don't – You miss one of those and you're behind the eight ball, because somebody is likely going to go undefeated in the Mid-Southern Conference. Yeah. So if you lose one game, and coaches will play that up, I understand. You don't want your kids to give up, but they'll say, hey, we're still in it. We can't give up. But you lose one game in the conference, and you're in your mind, you're thinking, we might have just lost a conference. You can't win the conference championship week one, but you could probably put yourself in a position to lose it in week one.
Yeah, I mean, our first three games are, you know, right at the gate. You know, you're North Harrison, Silver Creek. You know, and it's you know, you're talking week three. You may have either been in great shape or there's no way you can win the conference championship. And now, you know, every game's a conference game except for the final week, which is West Washington, which is your county rival, which is a huge night. So, you know, then you go into sectional. So the way that things are set up now, it's a lot different. And like I said, football is really good in this area. It's something that's a lot of fun. I sure enjoy watching it.
I always appreciate, you know, it'd be real easy for coaches to downplay that game and say, well, in the overall scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. It's not for a conference. It's not for a sectional. We're just going to try to get better that week.
Right.
But we don't pretend. We know how big that game is. From both sides, it's huge for morale. It's huge for future players coming out and being part of the team. And if you've never been to the West Washington Salem football game, you're missing out, and you need to get out there and watch that, because it's one of the more fun atmospheres. It's one of those things you circle on your calendar, and even if your kids go to Eastern, you try to make sure
you're at
that game.
It's tough now where it is in the schedule, because, you know, it's week 10, and all of a sudden you're up for that game. You know, it's you know, I don't care what you say. You're up for that game, your kids are up for that game. Win or lose, you got to turn right back around the following week and get that same energy back up because now you're in a sectional. You know, and so I don't like that being there. Coach will say he don't really care where it's at, you know, but that's Coach Hartsville. Yeah, he is. But you know, for me, I don't like it because it's, you know, I didn't really like it the first game of the year because it was like, oh, if you lose, oh, great, there goes our year, you know, and
sure.
And all the boo birds come out, you know. And so I don't really know if there's a great spot to put it. You don't want to put it in the middle of the year because the same thing can happen. So, you know, at the end of the year, I guess it's good. It's kind of like the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry is always the last game of the year. Purdue-Indiana is always the last game of the year. Probably some, is there football down in Louisville played? I don't know.
I believe
like
there's
that,
a
but,
little bit.
So then, you know, that's always late in the year too. So I guess that's why they put it there for sure.
Well, there again, you just can't take the week off. So that's good. I want to remind everybody, we got a trivia question out there. If you know the final score of the 1993 state championship game between West Washington and North Miami, you want to call us here. We got a few more minutes to call in. If you don't call in, we'll say after the show, the first post on our Facebook page after 8 o'clock gets those four tickets to the Louisville Bats, and they're redeemable for any game. It'll just be a voucher that you can use. You go down there to the ticket office and you trade them in, and they'll give you tickets. We had some seats there the other night, and they were solid seats, and we were right there by the Buffalo Bisons bullpen, and just great seats. So it's a fun night out, and the Bats are pretty affordable. You don't have to put a mortgage on the house to buy snacks and things like that when you go see a Bats game. So anyway, just good stuff. We're going to be talking a lot of football here in the coming weeks. Lots of games that we can get excited about. Looking forward to seeing what all three teams have. I know Eastern's senior class is solid, led by Dalton Panair. He's a senior lineman who's really one of the best wrestlers in the area. He's going to lead the way for the Musketeers, and Coach Dean is excited about the season. Coach Bousman has a young, fiery squad. I wouldn't want to play them on a given night. You better be ready. I know they're physically maybe not where they need to be body-wise, but I know they're going to be better. And then you got Salem, who you heard Coach Dablo say could be a sleeper team in the conference. So just going to be a fun fall sports season. You got volleyball kicking up, and our cross-country teams are going. So just a busy, busy time for sports getting ready to break loose here for us in Washington County.
Yeah, I gotta start work this week. You know, I haven't worked in a couple months, so you know it's here. I guess that's all I'm negative for football season is that, you know, teachers, we gotta go back to work. So
that's right. I want to hear Adrian's Med. You sing your version of "Back to School" there from Grease 2, Blair.
Yeah,
got one of those in you.
We will maybe next week. We can do that next week.
Yeah. Any hints on what our question of the week? We did quarterbacks this week. Any hints about what we go? We're going to certainly probably stay in the football vernacular there.
Yeah, we're going to go running backs.
Running backs, there you go. So,
and you know, if I leave Coach Hartsfield off my list, I'm never going to hear it. You know, so I'm pretty sure he'll probably have to be on my list.
I would think so, but there again, we have so many good ones. That'll be a fun list because you can really dig deep. You quarterbacks usually start sophomore, junior year, so play for a couple seasons, but running backs. We've had a wealth of them. There were years when Salem used a three-back set with that old Navy option.
Right.
So we had – I remember you had Tyler Holes and Trevor Shell and three backs there running the football. Cree Holstein was part of that mix, would get the football there sometimes. So on one team, pick a back from that crew, who are you going to give the football to? So that'll be fun. We could go deep in the running back list.
There may be several honorable mentions on that list.
Absolutely. We may have to get that running back conversation started a little bit early there, Blair. But we'll be talking about the weekend, the Bears and the Ravens kick it off. I'm anxious to see Lamar Jackson and how he does in his
I'm
first.
I'm picking a quarterback controversy in the Ravens camp.
I don't know.
I have a feeling that Joe Flacco's about to get T-bowed.
I tell you, this was my opinion about Lamar at Louisville, and it's just my opinion. This and 89 cents at gas stations in the southern Indiana area will get you a soft drink, okay? So this is what it's worth.
That's a pretty good deal.
So a fountain drink.
Okay.
I always thought that Petrino's offense was a little bit simplified over the past 3 years. Compared to what I saw in his first stint at Louisville.
Okay.
That was just my observation of watching. I went in person several times and just to see the routes and the offense.
Right.
So I don't know, compared to watching what Teddy Bridgewater ran at Louisville versus what Lamar did. So I'm going to give the nod to Flacco. I don't think we got controversy out of the gate. They're going to get Lamar on the field.
Week two.
Blair's calling week two.
Week two.
I say unless Flacco gets hurt, we don't see Lamar starting at quarterback. Unless, you know, they get off to a horrible start and the fans and the owners start crying a little bit. I would say we don't see Lamar this year starting.
You waste your first-round pick now, George.
He's on the field.
That was a first-round pick.
But not starting at quarterback.
All right. That's first-round pick.
That's my take.
Okay.
We'll see. I hope. I'm rooting for Lamar.
I'm not. I'm a Bengals fan, so I hope they I hope they both fall flat on their face.
And you got to remember, I have not great luck with the Ravens when they drafted Chris Redman.
Right, for sure.
I was really excited. It was sent off on eBay, got an autographed Redman Ravens picture, and I felt like he never got a fair shake. Belichick never gave him a fair shake as the starting QB in Baltimore. But, hey, he's only won a Super Bowl and a pretty solid coach, so I don't know if I could put my resume up against his as far as coaching. Again, he's forgotten more about football than I know. I think we're about out of time. Want to thank WSLM and our guest, John Dablo, down at Silver Creek. Thanks for everybody who commented on our Facebook page. Those tickets are still available. The bat season is running out. Remember, when it's snow on the ground and 20 degrees, you're going to be wishing you had some baseball to watch, so get those tickets. I know there's people that know that score without even looking it up, so post that score on our Facebook page. Be watching for Blair to post the – he's already told us what it's going to be. Your top three running backs ever in Washington County. The only caveat is you have to have seen them play in person. So we want to hear from you and tell us why you think they were. You know, maybe Dylan Conrad and R.J. Hartsfield were nose-to-nose maybe. So why would Dylan edge out R.J. in your mind? Or why did R.J. get the nod? That's the fun stuff.
Like Coach Humphrey did. You know, Coach Humphrey had his list, and he put him on there because, you know, they won this two conference titles.
Sure.
They won a sectional title. You know, he had a criteria there. I like that.
His list was based on hardware. He wants to see trophies in the case.
Yes, he does.
On his list. And then Jamie Richardson a few weeks ago said, hey, I'm not picking anybody who's still in school.
Right.
You gotta be out of school, pay your dues.
Right.
So that was kind of his criteria.
That's what makes this great. You know, you can voice your opinion and tell us what you think. So that's what makes it great, I think.
That's absolutely. And this, like I said in the beginning, we want this show to be about you. Somebody told me yesterday that they had been listening to the podcast. And again, we share that through our Facebook page so you can listen to that. And they said, well, we love the show. We don't care about talking about the World Cup or you guys talked about tennis a few weeks ago, but we understand that it was July and sports hadn't started yet, really.
Right.
So we're excited to hear once the school season gets going and we can talk about the county volleyball tournament and we can talk about the opening weekend in high school football. And we just got so much the Colts, and I'm just really excited to get going, and we're going to have to either talk faster or lobby here for more time.
That's right.
What do you think?
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for listening. Just looking forward to the season, Blair. Be thinking about your running backs, and come back and check us out next week. Have a great Monday night. We'll talk to you next week. Be safe.
You've been listening to Kentuckiana Sports Talk on WSLM, 1220 AM and 97.9 FM. Join us next week for more sports talk about local, regional, and national sports. Be sure to call in on the KST Talk line at 812-883-3401. And between now and then, tweet your comments and questions to KY in Sports Talk or post them on our Facebook page at Kentuckiana Sports Talk. We'll have a question of the week, polls for you, and all the latest news and interviews with local and regional players and coaches. Join George and Blair next week on Kentuckiana Sports Talk.